What's going on, everybody? This is Nico, and you are listening to yet another edition of your favorite podcast in the whole wide world. This is the Nico Show for Sunday, March 17th, 2019, coming to you live on tape from Phoenix, Arizona. Live from the 602. Where are my Phoenix heads at? Can I get a woo-woo for the desert? Lack of vegetation. Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm in an Airbnb in Phoenix. It's really lonely here because I'm by myself. And you may ask, why, Nico, have you decided to sit in an Airbnb in the middle of Phoenix, Arizona by yourself on a Sunday afternoon? And I would suggest to you that it was not a choice, but rather a medical necessity. So here's what happened. Oh, geez. I sprained my ankle. And I can now no longer walk. It's really a sad sight. Well, I can walk, but I have to like do the elephant man thing. I limp from location to location now. I swear to God, I sprained my ankle. And so I go to the Minute Clinic today, and the sweet woman that was running the thing at CVS was like, put some ice on it, wrap it in an ACE bandage, elevate the leg as much as possible, and stay off of it. Just stay off the leg. Just don't put any unnecessary pressure on it. So, you know, all those exciting hikes that you had planned in the Phoenix area this week? Remember that trip to the Grand Canyon you've been looking forward to for the past month? Yeah. It's time to put that on hold. Let's pump the brakes. It's time to lay in your bed by yourself in an echoey, cold Airbnb in a basement. I know. This is such a Nico thing, isn't it? This is so me. Dude, this is the worst. I swear to God, this is something that could only happen to me. I am convinced no one on the planet has had worse luck. With the exception of maybe my traveling companion, Alex Lawson, who is currently playing a quick 9 holes of golf by himself on a Sunday afternoon. Man, with friends like these, who needs enemies, right? You suffer a serious injury the night before, are incapacitated for the day, and rather than nurture you and take care of you and keep you company on your weekend, the second day of your vacation, he splits, goes and hits the links by himself, rents a pair of, or a set of golf clubs, and does his thing. Besides him, okay, so but on this trip, though, he's had better luck than I have. It's just been a total shit show. And I don't want to start out all negative. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, because I actually have had a lot of fun so far in the 24 hours that I've been in the 602. It's actually been fun. And the one thing I did want to say was like, yo, Phoenix heads, like, this place is awesome. You have a lit city. Your city is so dope. It is so cool. I was not ready for this. It's funny. The month leading up to this trip, we booked it a few weeks ago, and I've been telling people that I'm going to Phoenix, and their first reaction is always, why? What the hell's in Phoenix? And of course, they're from Connecticut, so they don't know. They don't fucking know Bridgeport from New Haven. They don't know the difference. All right, they live a sheltered suburban lifestyle in the middle of the woodlands outside of Hartford, Connecticut. All right, so they obviously don't know what's going on. They're not very well traveled, but they're always like, isn't Phoenix just a desert? It's just a lot of sand and cactuses, right? Like, there's not really anything to do there. And turns out, a lot to do here. Like 10 million people live here or something. It is a bustling metropolitan area. It's incredible. I'll talk about what I did yesterday in a second, because we did have a ton of fun yesterday. We just, you know, a little bit of a damper was put on things when we were perusing the downtown Phoenix area, Alex and I. And of course, I wasn't looking where I was going because I'm an observant person. I'm looking everywhere but where I'm going. You know, that's my philosophy when walking down the street. I'm looking at people, I'm looking at restaurants, at clubs to hit up, because of course we're young and sexy and ready to paint the town red or black or whatever the kids are painting it these days. So I'm looking, there's this Irish pub and they got some 4th of July, some St. Patrick's Day thing going on, and I'm peeking in there, and then I'm just checking out if there's anything to do because we're killing some time in downtown Phoenix last night. And then wouldn't you know it, the curb had other plans. I was looking at all the places that I wanted to go, and the curb said, you ain't going to any of them. Curb your enthusiasm, if you will. That's what the curb in downtown Phoenix said to me. Take the enthusiasm and shove it up your ass. So I just stepped wrong. And of course I wasn't drinking because you know I don't drink. That's not true. I had like a cider beer yesterday. I've had one drink in 48 hours here. And Alex, of course, is hammered because he's an alcoholic. He's about 8 beers deep so far. and we've been planting at this bar for about 2 hours. And so he's plastered. He has no idea where he's going. I'm supposed to be guiding the way. And I just stepped funny on the curb. And then my ankle did a 90 degree angle thing. Yeah, it decided to go perpendicular to the pavement. And I hit the ground. And it felt bad. I've never sprained my ankle before because I never played sports. I'm not a real like active person, or at least I wasn't when I was a kid. So this is the first time I've ever sprung my ankle. And wouldn't you know it, the one time I spring my ankle is the week where I'm planning to do a shit ton of hiking. God just has a sense of humor, man. The universe has a way of really kicking you in the ass, rubbing salt in the wound. Think about that. I spend all of my days sitting at home doing podcasts. That's my full-time gig. I barely leave the house. I go for a hike maybe once a year. And this week, as a way of tempting fate, if you will, as a way of turning things around for myself and saying, you know what? I'm going to think outside the box on this trip. I'm going to expand my horizons. I'm going to become one with nature. I'm going to breathe in the dry Phoenix air and hang out with some salamanders in the desert. The one week I decide to commit to hiking, I sprain my fucking ankle. If that ain't God having a sense of humor, if that ain't God embracing irony, I don't know what is. But the second that I sprained it, like, I knew something was wrong. I knew it was bad news, because I was able to walk on it for a little while. Like, it was just a little tender, but I could tell that things were going to get dicey very quickly. So we're walking downtown and we went to a comedy show, which I'll talk about in a second. Slowly but surely, I'm sitting in the chair watching the show, and it's a 3-hour show, starts at 10, ends at 1, and I think I sprained my ankle at around 9. We were on our way to the show. And once the show was over and I had just sat in pain for 3 hours, I could tell it was not going to be easy getting up. And that's when I knew, oh shit, this is actually a serious thing. This must be what athletes deal with. This must have been what it was like to play football in high school while I was in the marching band, shittily playing the trumpet. Yeah, it was not good. And so last night was just the most miserable night's sleep of all time. Oh, it was awful. Tossing and turning and every little movement of my foot just made me cower in pain. I just shriveled up like a little baby. Ugh. I was like, I want my mommy. And mommy ain't anywhere. You're in Phoenix. It's unforgiving. Phoenix don't care if you want your mommy. Phoenix doesn't care about your rolled ankles. It's a dog-eat-dog world out here on the West Coast. I always heard it was dog-eat-dog. I didn't know it was this bad. It's the wild, wild west out here in Phoenix. A brother can't sprain his ankle without getting admonished and heckled and hazed by the cold-hearted Phoenixites. It's terrible. It's awful. And then this morning I get up, I go to the Minute Clinic, and of course there was nothing they could do, so I'm just stuck with a bruise. And I was told, doctor's orders, you are not to go hiking this week. She said, no Grand Canyon for you. And what I say is, fuck that. I did not fly all the way here. I did not suffer through a 7-hour flight. Economy class flight. So I could not go to the Grand Canyon just to miss out on one of the wonders of the world. No fucking way, lady. No way. I'm going to suffer through it. I'm going to rent me a donkey, and I'm going to ride through the Grand Canyon on my steed. Because there is no way I came all the way out here to miss that. No way. But we can't do any of the hiking, unfortunately. I have to sort of keep a low profile today and this week. So it sucks. It sucks. And now Alex is out there having a good time, probably cracking open a few cores on the golf course, working on the short game. And I'm sitting here. I found this network. We have in this Airbnb, we don't have cable, obviously, but they have an over-the-air antenna. And I found this because the great thing about antenna networks is that they are aimed specifically at 70-year-olds. They're aimed specifically at senior citizens because they're the only ones that either don't have cable or don't have Netflix. And that say that, you know, the 5 or 6 channels that they can get over the antenna are enough. So I'm flipping through and it's a bunch of like old westerns, you know, John Wayne movies, True Grit, Murder, She Wrote. I was watching a Columbo rerun yesterday. So I'm flipping through the network and I'm watching a little college basketball and I'm watching some golf. They have the Players Championship this weekend. And I found this network called Buzzr. It's an over-the-air network. I don't know if it's like available on cable. It probably isn't. But Buzzr is like game show network, but it's aimed at even an older demographic. It's all game shows from like the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I swear to God. They have like Match Game and Password, What's My Line. And you know, I'm obsessed with game shows. I'm a game show historian. So I've been watching that all day. And I found this game show called Supermarket Sweep. Today they have a Supermarket Sweep marathon. And it's this old game show from the 90s. I'm not kidding you. Here's the show. This is the game show from the 90s, and it shows you how much times have changed. You take 6 housewives. I swear to God. You put them in a literal supermarket, and you ask them questions about grocery shopping. This is a real thing. This is a real game show. I think it's from like 1992. And because it was from 1992 and it was a daytime game show, you assume that it was aimed at housewives. Like, that was the idea. Like, most daytime television is aimed at housewives because, for the most part, those are the people watching TV at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon while the man is at work making bread for his family, right? but I could just imagine the pitch meeting where, you know, Johnny, the game show producer, is kicking around a few ideas for the next Price is Right. And of course, the big television executive at the head of the table, I imagine he has a cigar of some kind and he's taken a few puffs. He's very old school. He's the type of guy that would smack Marilyn Monroe around on the set of Some Like It Hot. You know, like he's like really old school Hollywood. It's a man's world. Like a worse version of Harvey Weinstein. And he's at the head of the table and he's smoking a cigar. And here comes Johnny, who is this fresh young producer, wide-eyed, ready to take the television game show industry by storm. And they're all pitching ideas around this table. And there's no women there. It's only men. Because, obviously. There's the Mr. Moneybags at the head of the table, who is getting the meeting started. And he says, after taking a few puffs of his cigar, right? He goes, listen, see? We gotta get the ladies watching TV. We gotta get the housewives tuned into NBC Monday through Friday. All right, we gotta get the women involved. What do women like? And here's Johnny shaking in his bootstraps, getting ready for his first ever television pitch. And Johnny, by the way, doesn't have a girlfriend. Like, has no idea the workings of the female mind. And just assumes that if there's a housewife sitting alone with the kids on a Tuesday afternoon watching NBC television, not like she has any greater ambitions, right? It's not like she has hopes of a future career or great adventure or fulfillment. Johnny's understanding of how housewives think is based on nothing. And so Johnny goes, well, sir, I was thinking, women love going to the supermarket and, well, when they get home, they love to sweep. So I was thinking we call it Supermarket Sweep. That way, when they're not doing the mind-numbing chore of grocery shopping, they can be reminded of how much they loathe it on the comfort of their sofa. As if women don't spend enough time at Whole Foods, we'll turn it into a fucking game show. I swear to God, this is the show. And I've been watching it fascinated for days. Not for days, I've only been here for a day, but for hours. I've been watching this marathon. It's incredible. This show would never get on the air anymore. It would be like, it would be destroyed as a symptom of the patriarchy. You can't do that, Supermarket Sweep. Hey, ladies, here's a game show. Who can scrub that toilet? You just turn housewife chores into a competition show. It's true. Supermarket Sweep. Look it up on YouTube. I'm sure it's on there. Man, that's what I've been doing. That's it. That's what I've been doing. I got some stories, though. I am really, seriously, I am enjoying Phoenix greatly, and I was enjoying it until that injury, especially. The weather is just beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky. I was immediately thrilled upon landing here by the look of cactuses. I am truly in awe of how many goddamn cactuses are out here. And it really just made me grin ear to ear. I was talking the other day, all I wanted to do was see one cactus. And now everywhere you turn, there's a cactus. We were driving through a neighborhood the other day where we got this car rental. It's like a private rental app. And we pick up the car. And in that neighborhood were just like random orange trees. And our Uber driver was dropping us off there. And he was telling us which orange tree was right to eat from. He goes, that's the one where you can get all the fresh oranges. Stay away from the other one. It's a bit tangy and sour. And I'm like, bro, what kind of... What kind of Narnia world did I just enter? When did I step through a wardrobe? It is, what kind of universe is this? It's great. Shout out to the West Coast. It's so cool. It's like the architecture is exactly what you would imagine. It's so funny. I've spent so much time watching this in movies, and I've never experienced it quite like this. I feel like I'm in the neighborhood from E.T. You know, it's just nothing but dry land, very little grass, cul-de-sacs everywhere. Every street is a cul-de-sac. It's like there's a labyrinth that you have to navigate whenever going into a residential neighborhood here. It just looks so different. It's so stark and unique. And of course, it's just sand and dirt. There's no grass. There's a few parks here and there, but most of that grass is artificial. It's just a different world. It's so, and by the way, the people are dope here. The people are awesome. Shout out to Phoenix people. It must be nice living in warm weather. That can be the only explanation. Northeasterners are not this polite. They're just not that kind to you because they're miserable. They spend 7 hours or 7 months out of the year in just a frozen tundra, worried about frostbite. It's like, it's amazing when you don't have to deal with scraping ice off your windshield. When you never have to say the phrase, I'm going to go warm my car up, it's amazing how much that will greatly improve your quality of life. That's got to be what it is. Everybody here has been so awesome to us and so kind, so helpful, great to talk to. I've had so many great conversations with random people, and I'm not just talking about people at bars because they've been awesome, but also just like Uber drivers and service people. And we've been walking around to these random art shows and stuff because it was a Saturday and we just decided on the first day, let's drive around, and whenever inspiration strikes, we'll go to that place. And there's just a bunch of like little art shows that we've been checking out, and little sales and pop-up shops and farmers markets, and it's really awesome. It must be nice to live here. Everybody's so goddamn happy. I'm sure like after a month it would freak me out. You know, I would want to go back to just putting my head down and avoiding awkward conversation with random people on the street. But when in Rome, man, it's time to embrace. It's been really nice. I really appreciate the Phoenix people. Another shout out, again, if you're out here, if you're a listener of this or a listener of any of my other shows, actually, you wouldn't be a listener of my other shows because you're listening to this, hit me up. I'm down to chill. And I know, like, now I have a bad ankle, so don't suggest, like, racquetball or anything. I don't want to do anything too physically exerting. But as long as it involves sitting in a chair and the possibility of elevating my bummed leg, I'm cool with it. It's great. Shout out to Phoenix. It's so awesome. I have a funny story about the flight. The flight was a nightmare, as they always are. We flew out of JFK, which is like 2 hours from my house. And we get on the runway, and it was already delayed to begin with because, I don't know, they didn't empty out the plane quickly enough. And we're on the runway about a half hour after the scheduled departure time, and rain starts falling. And I'm talking about torrential downpour. So that was 2 more hours just sitting on the runway, ready to take off. Not a fun time. Not a fun time. And then once we were up there, the woman next to me was so annoying. She was just terrible. And she was like doing freaking yoga poses in the economy class airplane seat. It was awful. She was doing like the downward dog. I'd never seen this on a plane before. Because by the way, this woman was not petite. Like, she wasn't fat, but she was of, you know, healthy proportions. So if she had to move, I was getting elbowed. Part of her body was getting shoved into a part of my body, and it was not pleasant. So this woman, to stretch, would like get up, shift over, put her knees on the seat of the plane and stretch out her back as though she's doing a lotus or whatever. It was awful. That was bad enough. And then I'm up there and I'm so nauseous. I can't fall asleep, but I'm still exhausted because I have a hard time sleeping places that aren't my bed. That was 7 hours. I felt sick afterwards. My legs hurt. I'd just done leg day that day. It was awful. When I was in the airport, though, we got there. We were hanging out for about an hour. This was so strange. I've never had this experience before. Let me say this. This was a first for me. Because I've run into a lot of obnoxious assholes in my life. Never one that was so openly obnoxious and openly an asshole. Dude in the airport. Here's the scene. I'm at the little charging station by the terminal or by the gate. And I'm getting my laptop charged for the flight. And I'm sort of surfing the internet, downloading illegal movies. And dude comes up to me. Sits one seat over, even though the entire row of charging stations was open, sits directly next to me and makes a phone call. But of course, it didn't end there. Rather than putting the phone up to his ear, had it on speaker. Big red flag, big no-no, big social taboo. If you're one of those people that does speakerphone in public, you need to just walk into the ocean immediately and don't turn around. Pour some concrete in your trousers and jump off of a fucking cruise liner. You are out of here. You are not part of the team, man. If you're one of those dudes, speakerphone in public, go fuck yourself. So he's next to me on speakerphone, and normally that would be bad enough. But wouldn't you know it, what was his conversation? I'll try to reenact it as best as I can. Forgive me, I might be paraphrasing. Hey, yo, you have the money? Yeah, man. He says that we owe him a half. A half? How much is a half? Some price that I don't know. I don't know what the price is. The dude was doing a drug deal. The dude was literally slinging whatever he was slinging. I would assume weed. Over the phone in the airport on speaker. Right next to another person. I could not believe the balls on this guy. Who the fuck does this guy think he is? Yeah, so I don't know exactly what the details of the conversation were, but I was able to put two and two together. Something about a half. So, something about how much a half costs. I don't even know what a half means. As you know, I've never purchased an illegal narcotic in my life. So I have no idea. I don't know. Is a half a lot? Is it a little? Is it enough to kill a horse? Is it enough to solve this ankle pain I'm having? I don't fucking know. And I don't know what the going rate is these days. I don't know what you can get it for on the Dow Jones or whatever. I don't know how weed stocks are doing. but anyway, yeah. Dude, drug dealing in an airport on speakerphone. It's like, seriously, bro? Like, just try a little bit. Just try to pretend that you're, like, not engaging in illegal activity. Just a little bit of class. I'm fine with criminals for the most part. Like, generally speaking, like, I'm cool with criminals. Unless you, like, kill somebody or rape somebody. Other than that, like, whatever. Sell what you want, buy what you want, smuggle what you want. I don't fucking care. I'm cool with criminals more often than not. But I appreciate a classy criminal. I appreciate a criminal with a little bit of just social awareness and just a little bit of subtlety. Absolutely no class out of this guy running his business on speakerphone in an airport right next to another person, as if I can't hear every word he's saying. Boy. All right. What do I want to talk about here? So I got into Phoenix yesterday. We had an awesome time yesterday. We had a really good time. We get here, as I said, we just started driving around. We ended up finding this museum called the Musical Instrument Museum. And I would highly recommend this. If you're ever in the Phoenix area, if you're looking for something to do, I just saw this sign in the airport. So I'm like, all right, this must be something worth checking out. Incredibly cool museum. It's huge. You could spend the entire day there and not get bored. That's what kind of museum this is. And I'm not like a huge museum goer. I appreciate a few hours at the Met every once in a while. Like, nothing too intense. But this was the type of museum I could have spent hours in. We go to this electric guitar exhibit, and it shows you essentially the history of the electric guitar, the first models all the way up to the most recent. And then it takes you through every single continent and their contributions to music through instruments. And it's just this massive... this massive area where you go country through country. And I loved how they did this. I'm assuming this is not a unique technology. I'm sure other museums have utilized this in the past. They give you these Walkman devices and they hook up wirelessly with the TV screens throughout the museum. And each and every exhibit has at least one TV. And I mean every single country. So there must have been a good 300 to 400 television monitors in this museum streaming the instruments in practice. So you would see the instrument and then you would see it being played on the screen. And if you walked close enough to it, it would pick up on the Walkman. And so you would get a cool sense of the sound. And it was interesting how they organized it, because you were really able to tell the subtle nuances in region and the the sort of cultural touchstones that make each country special and each country's musical instruments special. It was really awesome. It was really awesome just to walk through there and sort of float around TV to TV and hear all of the different sounds. So we spent a lot of time doing the globe, but the coolest part of the whole museum was the, I forget what they called it, musician artifact room, something along those lines. But it's just all of like the most popular musicians have donated their guitars and their drum sets to this museum, and they each have their own exhibit. And I'm not talking about everybody, but they have like the piano that John Lennon wrote Imagine on, which was so dope. That was like my favorite part of the whole museum, is you go up, and because of the technology, again, with the TV screen, you walk up to the piano. It says on the pane glass in front of it, Imagine. And then you can read very quickly, this was the piano that John Lennon used to write one of the top 10 best pop songs of all time. Like, one of the most iconic, beautiful, moving songs ever written was written on this thing. And by the way, here it is. In its entirety, you can listen to Imagine while looking at that very piano. And I gotta tell you, I got choked up, man. It was just such an incredible thing. Standing there, looking at that artifact, hearing the song, and it was just one of those reminders of like how beautiful life can be and how special music can be, quite frankly. And how sort of personal musical instruments are. Because you walk around this thing and all of these guitars, the guitars were so fucking awesome. There are more guitars in this place with unique designs. Many of them, again, by popular artists. Like, I think Carlos Santana donated a guitar to this museum, and you could see the type of guitar that he enjoyed playing. And they literally had, I'm not kidding you, Elvis's final guitar. As far as they know, as far as historians know, this was the final guitar that Elvis Presley ever played. And it's in this museum, in its glory. It has a big crack down the middle, and it was restored by the museum. It was so dope. It was so dope being able to see these people's personalities in their instruments. You know, and it's when you're dealing with music, it's kind of interesting. It's not just the music that's the expression. It's the whole process. It's not just what you're playing. It's how you're playing it. It's the instruments that you're using to play it. It's your look. It's your fashion. There's so much that goes into being a great musician. And it was just sort of an awesome lens with which to see all of these artists through. I will say this, though. One nitpick with the Musical Instrument Museum. And just one. And it's a pretty big one. So we walk into this room, the artist room, and there are three exhibits right in the front. This is supposed to entice you to come into this gallery because the good shit is in here, right? three things. The rest is sort of buried. You have to walk around another wall to see, for example, Toby Keith's guitar or Sting's guitar. I think they had Leonard Bernstein's baton or one of Leonard Bernstein's batons. They had some stuff from John Denver. As I said, Santana. I think Stevie Ray Vaughan had a guitar in there too. Another cool thing with the Police, in the Police exhibit, they had the handwritten sheet music from the first draft of Every Breath You Take. That was awesome to see. I don't know. I think Sting wrote it. I'm not sure who wrote the notes. But you have that awesome artifact. So all this stuff is in there. Here are the three exhibits at the front. You have smack dab in the middle, John Lennon Imagine, his piano, of course. That's the creme de la creme of the whole museum. I get it. To your left, you have Johnny Cash. And included in this exhibit is Johnny Cash's Grammy Award, a few of his platinum records, a guitar, and his all-black suit. A full-body Johnny Cash suit on display. And I love Johnny Cash. I spent a lot of time looking at all that stuff. I'm a big Johnny Cash fan. So here you go. Two music icons. Care to guess who the third artist at the front of this room was? I'll give you three guesses. First two don't count. It rhymes with Baroon Hive. I'm not fucking kidding. Maroon 5 at the front of this exhibit. Rubbing elbows with John Lennon and Johnny Cash. Rubbing elbows with like two of the 10 greatest musicians America and Europe have ever produced. Two of the most influential voices of all time. And then there's Adam Levine's neon guitar that he smashed at a concert because he threw it into the audience. I'm not kidding you. So I'm listening again. I'm getting welled up. I'm tearing up. I'm watching Imagine the video. And then I walk over a few feet and it's just moves like Jagger. I don't even try to control you. Ugh. And then meanwhile, Elvis is buried in the back. The Elvis exhibit, you would miss it if you didn't scour the entire room. You got Elvis's final guitar and then a telegram that him and the Colonel wrote to the Beatles after their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. I guess Paul McCartney donated it. And it was the telegram to John, Ringo, George, and Paul. Congratulations on your appearance on Ed Sullivan. Signed, Elvis Presley and Colonel Parker. That's buried in the back. Meanwhile, I get to see Adam Levine's sweaty scarf from the Super Bowl. Poor organization, poor curation, Museum of Musical Instruments. I do not approve. That was 3 hours of the day. And so then at night, we're looking for a fun night out. We wanted to keep it a little low key because we were still sort of exhausted from the flight the night before. I look at what's in town, see if there's any gigs or shows that we could hit up at the last second. And I saw that Norm MacDonald was playing at the, I guess, Stand Up Live Comedy Club in downtown Phoenix. And Alex and I were like, yeah, sure, let's go check it out. We assumed that the show was sold out because the website said that you couldn't purchase any more tickets. So, you know, we were going there planning on scalping. And if no one was scalping, we would just do something else. But we show up there. Turns out plenty of room available in the second show. So went on at 10 and we saw Norm. I think I've spoken about him quite glowingly on this podcast before, but Norm MacDonald is one of my like comedy muses. Like he just speaks to me in a way that most other comics don't speak to me. Like I don't necessarily consider him among the funniest comedians. Like I don't think he makes me laugh as much as Bill Burr or Brian Regan or Jerry Seinfeld or Louis C.K. or Chris Rock. Like, he's not at that level, and obviously America agrees because Norm has not really working that much since the Saturday Night Live days. But for the past like year or so, I've just been obsessed with Norm MacDonald clips on YouTube. And whenever I need like a pick-me-up, whenever I'm feeling blue and I want to smile, like I'll just hit up YouTube and type in Norm MacDonald. And he's sure to bring a grin to my face. I just love this man. Something about his voice speaks to me. And I don't know what it is. Something about his delivery and the way he talks and his philosophy on life. So I was super excited to go see him live. And it was this small comedy club, a pretty intimate venue that we saw him at. Obviously, I rolled my ankle going into the show, so that wasn't so much fun. But when we got in there, it was interesting. The show started late, about 10, and this opener comes out. And I actually recognize the guy. I think his name is Joe Stapleton. Joe Stapleton. He was not that familiar looking, but I recognized the voice. And it was very strange. I'm like, what do I know you from? I feel like I know you. He was one of the openers. And then it hit me. This dude is a poker announcer. This dude is like a poker commentator for the World Series or whatever he does. I think it's like the European Poker Tour. And the only reason I know who the hell this guy is because along with watching Norm MacDonald clips on YouTube obsessively, I also watch Texas Hold'em poker clips on YouTube obsessively. Those are my two big passions. I don't think there are any two subcategory of YouTube videos that I've watched more than Norm MacDonald highlights and poker clips. So I knew exactly who this guy was. And I'm also familiar with Norm's poker history. He plays like a lot of like cash games. He's a real big poker guy because he's a real big degenerate gambler, which was also funny. It was so great. We're at the show. There were two opening acts. And after the second guy had wrapped up his set, the first guy, the poker guy, comes back out and was like, Norm will be out here in a minute. I'm not kidding you. We all know that Norm is a degenerate gambler. He has some money on some games tonight and they haven't wrapped up yet. So this poor dude had to come back out after his initial set and do five more minutes. And it was a really painful 5 minutes. Like you could tell that was the material that he had not quite worked out yet. It was the unpolished, rough around the edges shit that was not ready for primetime. So when he's vamping as Norm is backstage screaming at the television monitor because he has money on Michigan State in the Big Ten championship, this guy was bombing. It was so funny. It was a really good time. But anyway, so that I'm assuming was what the connection was. They must have met each other on the poker circuit at some point. That guy comes out and I'm not kidding you. 2 minutes into the set, and this should be a bad omen. You know, if I was reading the tea leaves on this one, if I was trying to get a sense of what God was trying to tell me on this trip, I think the message is loud and clear, stay the fuck out of Arizona. But that ain't gonna stop me from having a good time. All right? Relax, God. Nico's got it from here. But this is what happens midway through the show. My ankle starts throbbing. I'm in pain. Midway through this dude's set, you just hear from the crowd a woman's voice, and it sounds like a shriek. She goes, "Someone call 911. This man is having a seizure." Dude had a seizure. Dude had a seizure midway through the stand-up act. It was crazy. And I was thinking about it. It's the worst place. It's the worst place to have a seizure. Because everyone assumes it's a joke. Like, if you hear someone shout out from the crowd, you're conditioned to ignore them because it's just some annoying heckler. Like, you don't think there's actually going to be an emergency. Come to find out a few minutes later, I'm talking to some people next to us, and the girl goes, That was our waiter. He's the guy that just took our drink order. And 2 minutes later, he's in the back of the room, has a seizure. And they had to call an ambulance. And the guy on stage who's sweating, he goes, well, this is a first for me. I guess it's not a joke. I guess not everything here is a joke. Had no good material. Didn't have a good... Clearly, he had not gone through something like this before. But I guess comedians should practice for something like this. In the rare event tragedy strikes and the room is sent into chaos and you have to stop your set, you should have a good line. But the dude just goes, yep, this is a first for me. I guess we're going to take care of him. We're going to pause the show for now and I'll be back once this is all taken care of. And it's the most like awkward like 5 minutes. The whole room is silent. They're taking care of the guy in the back. There was a doctor in the house apparently. And the doctor tended to him and made sure he was okay. It was nuts. It was nuts. It's just one of those things. It's like, what is happening on this trip? First, the flight gets delayed for 2 hours. And I feel like I'm going to vomit on the plane. Then I almost lose my laptop. I almost forget my laptop in the airport. Luckily, I remembered it before we got into the Uber. And I ran back inside and got it. But I could have lost my laptop easily. And then we're at a comedy show and a dude has a fucking seizure. And I sprained my ankle. I've never sprained my ankle in my life. It's like, it's crazy, man. It's insane how much is going wrong on this trip. But it was like one of those weird experiences. I immediately thought afterwards, I'm like, you know what? I'm probably never going to be at a comedy club when a dude has a seizure again. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You might as well savor it. And, of course, Alex and I are sitting there because we're sick fucks. And we're brainstorming seizure jokes. Because I was thinking to myself, obviously, because we're at a comedy club. And that's what comedy clubs are all about. Laughing at the shit you're not supposed to laugh at. It's supposed to be a safe space for you to be offensive. So we're sitting there and we're thinking, all right, if I'm Joe Stapleton and my set just got interrupted by a seizure, I would be backstage right now with a notepad and I would talk to Norm and I would talk to the other opener. I would talk to everybody funny in the room and I would say, all right, what's the best seizure joke you got? Give me something good because you got to come out there. And so here was my best line and I wish he used it. If he had asked me, if Joe Stapleton had been like, are there any comedy fans in the room? I need a quick seizure joke. I would have volunteered this one. I come out. The ambulance has just taken away. Has just taken away the seizure guy. And I would go, all right, everybody. It's time to shake that one off. And then sort of mimic a seizure. That would have been my angle. That would have been my angle. He didn't go that way. Instead, funny enough, he was right in the middle of... he was right in the middle of doing a meat joke. He was making jokes about meat. And his line was, yeah, I should probably scrap all those meat jokes. There's a literal meat package being delivered to the hospital right now. And we're joking about meat. I thought that was pretty good. It was a pretty good line. That was the funniest part of the whole evening. I mean, that really is... I don't want to, like, mock the guy. The guy was, you know, obviously been through a lot. And it was a horribly embarrassing thing, I suppose. The second act was this guy named Dave Otley, I think. Dave Otley, yeah. Who is a guy who has... some physical deformities. I believe he was born with a hunchback and he's married to a woman that is epileptic and has a lot of seizures. And he actually came out and was quite sweet about it and went, listen, guys, I deal with this with my wife all the time. The worst thing you can do when someone has a seizure is to like hone in on them and like feel shocked and dismayed that someone just had a seizure. The best thing to do is ignore them and just pretend like nothing happened because it's horribly embarrassing for people and it makes them feel like freaks. And the guy goes, and I am a freak, so I know what that feels like. He was totally awesome. He was actually very funny. I would recommend this guy, Dave Otley. I'd never seen him before, but he came out and crushed it. So there you go. Guy has a seizure, and that became a running joke for the entire evening. And it's just like, yeah, that's comedy. Comedy is the spontaneity. It's just something crazy happens, and in the moment, you got to react to shit. And you react to it through mockery and through humor and through levity. You know, you can't just be all ho-hum and depressed about it. Like, you have to soldier on. And it's really, it's this magical thing. And it's actually the magical thing about being at a comedy club. I haven't been to many comedy clubs in my life. But all of my experiences there have always... It's this weird energy in the room. This sort of aura of just... You know, no one's taking it seriously. It's like you wander about life and everyone is always so goddamn serious about everything. Everything is always blown out of proportion and made out to be more important than it actually is. Everyone is so self-obsessed and just, it's terrible. It's a slog. That's why life can often be a slog. But you go to these places and it's just this magical fantasy world where you can say whatever you want, do whatever you want, make fun of whatever you want, and just enjoy life. And that's what this was. Medical emergency in the comedy club. We were okay laughing at it. And I'm sure the waiter was okay laughing at it too. And it's just great, man. That's comedy. That's what comedy's all about. It was just terrific. Anyway, so Norm comes up. And again, he was late because he was gambling on some shit. And I gotta tell you, bro, I don't think I've ever been to a show before that I enjoyed more but can recommend any less. I cannot recommend Norm Macdonald Live to anybody. There is not a single person in my life that I would encourage to see Norm Macdonald live in concert. It is the most avant-garde performance art I've ever seen on a comedy stage. And I don't think it's intentional. It's totally unintentional. But Norm, you can tell, the miles are beginning to accumulate. You know, he's really running up the odometer on this one. Norm peaked in the 90s, was one of the hottest voices in comedy, was great on Weekend Update. Like, if you'd never watched Norm on Weekend Update making fun of O.J. Simpson, you need to go back and watch those clips on YouTube. The dude was just brilliant on that show. He's one of the best anchors Weekend Update's ever had. So he was obviously very successful in the 90s and had a few hit movies. You know, these days he's not really doing that anymore. He had that talk show, Norm Macdonald Live, on Netflix, which is another thing that I enjoyed immensely but could not recommend to anyone because it's so unprofessional and so sloppy and so anti-comedy. And that's sort of what Norm's whole thing is. It's not quite anti-comedy. Like, it's not like Brody Stevens, who just passed away, the late Brody Stevens, was anti-comedy. He made you laugh by making you uncomfortable. His punchlines were designed to be unfunny. And the unfunniness is what made it funny. That was all part of the routine. And Norm isn't quite at that level, but it's certainly, it's a hard brand of comedy to relate to. It's not for everyone. This is not intended to be appealing to the masses. What it is appealing to, however, is this guy. I fucking love Norm, as I said earlier on. So he's up there on stage and he's kind of crushing it. It's weird. He goes up there. The thing about Norm, and this is sort of something that can happen with all the great comedians. It's one of the marks of a great comedian is they're just funny as they are. You know what I mean? They're born funny. Their very presence is funny. If you saw him on stage standing there and breathing, you would laugh at it. Like, that's pure funny. And you probably know guys like that in your life. A guy just sitting there on the couch speaking the way that he normally speaks is just funny to you. Right? That's Norm. So he's up on stage chewing on a lozenge. Again, he had just come out from backstage rooting for some random college basketball game that he had several thousand dollars on. And now he's on stage with a Red Bull, baseball cap, Chicago Cubs baseball cap, and this shitty like t-shirt underneath a suit jacket. And he goes from joke to joke. And and here's what's so unbelievable about it. The jokes are really good. They're strong material. And the premises are very insightful, very poignant. They're well constructed. They're very well thought out. And you can tell because there are like certain... It's interesting. There are certain phrases where you can tell, holy shit, this guy's been working on this joke for a while. You know, there are certain punchlines that are so meticulously written and so specific where it's like, yeah, this is pure comedy. This guy works hard on his craft. But the delivery, and this is what makes Norm Norm, the delivery is so stream of conscience. It's so not planned and so inanimate. It sounds like he's just a crazy old man standing on stage ranting about the world. Like it felt like he didn't have a plan. And I'm sure some of it was spontaneous. I'm sure he ad-libbed a bunch of the lines, but every once in a while you had that great punchline that came at the end of this bizarre monologue. It's like this podcast. Like it sounded like a less animated version of this podcast. Up there just talking, yeah, I was chewing on a lozenge. Let me finish this. We're in Phoenix. That guy had a seizure, right? See the guy had a seizure, you know? When the guy had a seizure, I was just thinking, I don't want to die. I just don't want to die. So it's just like this crazy shit where it's like, dude, if you put my uncle up there, he would sound the same. But under the surface, like Trojan horsed into that rough around the edges delivery was this incredible stand-up material. Smart, biting, to the point, great jokes, really well-constructed jokes. And that's what I'm all about, man. Like that is what I'm all about. Insightful, smart ideas underneath a very deceiving presentation. You know what I mean? It's like, that is why I'm so into reality shows. They look so, they are these incredible sort of looks at real life and looks at humanity disguised in this trashy entertainment form. Like that's what reality television is. I can learn a lot about people. I can learn as much about life from Survivor as I can The Wire. But The Wire is the prestige HBO show, and Survivor is, or The Real World or The Bachelor is just this silly reality show. And I feel like both are equivalent. I really do. I think both are equal pursuits. I don't think one is any better than the other. And that, in a nutshell, is what Norm Macdonald is. Anti-comedy. It seems very antithetical to comedy, what he does. But under the surface is great, pure, awesome comedy that made me just cry with laughter. Incredible. Alex got a little bored, I could tell, and a lot of people in the crowd got bored. He went on for like 2 hours. He would not get off the stage. He was trying out some new material or something. The dude refused to leave. And so guys started walking out of the theater, like people that were out there for a fun night out. You could tell like these were not like real comedy fans. These were just, you know, some people looking for a good show on a Saturday evening. They started walking out about an hour in because he just got so out there. His rant just split off into a million directions and he took so many detours. And I think it was too much for those people. And Alex at times started zoning out as well. And he was like, yeah, you know what? I think Norm has lost his fastball. And my thought is, no, this is the best version of Norm. That to me is the look of someone so confident, so in control, so in the moment and at the top of his game and great at his craft. And I am probably the only human being in the world that feels that way about Norm Macdonald. I'm the only person that's like, this dude knows exactly what he's doing when he stands there on stage and takes a silent pause for 15 seconds. He's clearly the only one in on the joke. I feel like I'm in on the joke. I could be crazy. This could be a senile old man that's in the early stages of dementia that doesn't realize that he's bad at stand-up comedy. Could be. I don't feel that way. He had me rolling laughing. So confident, so incredible. It was great stand-up. It was stand-up. That's what it was last night. If you are into stand-up comedy, that was the show for you. I still cannot recommend it to anybody, not even my worst enemies. But also, shout out to the chick next to us who went by herself to the Norm show. This is a young lady, probably my age, somewhere around, I mean, it was a 21 and over club, so probably 22, 23, 24. Norm McDonald t-shirt right next to us by herself at this comedy club. That's a bold look. It's a bold move. Really going for it there, chick at the comedy club. My only regret today, I did not ask her out. That's my only regret. I'm like, yo, I should have got those digits. If any woman on the planet is ever going to understand me, it is the semi-cute chick in Phoenix, Arizona, by herself at a Norm Macdonald comedy show, wearing a Norm Macdonald t-shirt with his face plastered on the front. That was my soulmate. I blew it. It's over. I'm never gonna meet a chick that understands me again. Maybe I should put an ad in one of those missed connections. I should put a Craigslist ad up. Oh man, the Norm Macdonald girl. I think she was the woman of my dreams. That one's gonna sting for a while. I didn't get that number. What are you doing? I mean, what a Nico girl. What a Nico move. Like, what do you, like, you're fairly attractive. I would actually say very cute. Like, very like Girls Next Door cute. At a comedy show by yourself. And that comedy show happens to be Norm Macdonald, who your parents probably even haven't heard of. Incredible. Incredible. Shout out to that girl. And shout out to Phoenix. I'm having a good time despite my ankle problems. I think that's all I got. Those are all my stories. Oh, man, we went an hour. Oh, great. Awesome. I'm killing the day. Supermarket sweep and podcast. Nothing like it. That's all I got. If you have any more suggestions for me in Phoenix, do let me know. Give me a tweet at FunnyNicoTweets or shoot me an email. TooManyThoughtsMedia@gmail.com. That's the best way to do it. TooManyThoughtsMedia@gmail.com. Happy to hear from you. I did get a recommendation from listener Carl last week. Do want to give him a shout out. He told me to go to the Frank Lloyd Wright Museum. And I have yet to go because, as I said, ankle problems. Hopefully there's not too much walking involved because I would like to go. It did look kind of cool. So yeah, if you have anything else for me, do let me know. I'm driving up to the Grand Canyon in a few days because I'm tempting fate. And, you know, what better time to stand at the edge of a mile-high drop than when you're on a bad leg and lack coordination and balance, right? What a perfect time to go hang out at the edge of the Grand Canyon. So if there's anything on the way, I've heard Sedona is amazing. That is the one town, like everyone I've ever talked to about Phoenix tells me you got to stop in Sedona on the way to the Grand Canyon. The chick at the CVS today, the lady that took care of my ankle was like, yep, you got to stop in Sedona. It's this cute little town, great for tourists. You'll love it. So we're going to do that. We'll check that out in a few days. And also we're going to do some spring training games too. We haven't gotten a chance to do that yet, but spring training's in town. So I think I want to try to see Milwaukee or something. Maybe Milwaukee or the Padres, see Machado or the Dodgers. That should be fun. So yeah, I'll be doing that. I'll be hanging out in Phoenix. Maybe I'll do another podcast if I'm bedridden for the rest of the week. I'm sure there'll be plenty of more stories to get to. And that'll be it. Cool, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being you. Thanks for hanging in. I love you guys so much. You mean the world. And I certainly love you more than Alex, who is having a great time hitting the links without me this afternoon. Again, tweet me at FunnyNicoTweets. You know the deal. Subscribe to all the podcasts, TooManyThoughtsMedia.com or TMT.media. New Why Is This a Thing and Movie Hopping still coming this week. I banked them last week, so you'll be able to carry on with your podcast listening schedule uninterrupted this Wednesday and this Thursday. Why Is This a Thing and Movie Hopping, respectively. All right, that's a podcast. I'll talk to you next time. Coming live from Phoenix. Please come back. I'll probably still have a bad ankle then. I'll be elevating it and icing it on a 15-minute rotation. I'll be unable to walk, but I will be able to talk. And then and only then, on the next edition of the Nico Show, will you finally hear the story of Lord Steve. Talk to you then.